Like the song we sang to each other at the beginning of the service, it's impossible to imagine only one voice singing that song. How would we make sense of this is the sound of voices three? And what would it be to sing alone? From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, by this we live. Perhaps directed as a prayer. But in general, that would be a strange thing. Whose hands do you grab? Together we share, and by this we live. It's the theme of our annual pledge drive, which means it's going to be in big letters on the front of the brochure that we'll mail to you. Together we share, and by this we live. And for something as mundane as paying the bills and funding our goals, something like money, we wonder maybe why do we need a theme, right? Why don't we just take care of it? We'll just look at our goals and our assets in an open and democratic manner and then make it happen. Why do we need a theme? What next, a theme song? Yeah, we got a whole book full of them. Because the theme says, here's what we're about. Here's who we are, and here's what we're about. Just advertising, even marketing. That's telling people who you are, what you're for, what you've got to offer. And it's built on a fact that we can change the way we think. And the way we think changes the way we behave. So how do we want to think about things? We can change the way we think by, among other things, perhaps memorizing a simple song. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, by this we live. Our thought is to share, our thought is to give. And as it applies to our common life here, and in particular right now in this season, to our way of handling our treasures collectively, I also want you to change your thinking so that our common giving is not a donation to some other group. It is not something we pay for like a product or a service. It is an investment we make in ourselves, in each other, and in the whole future. Like in any investment, the spiritual life has risks, but it brings great dividends, often well beyond what you put in. We're going to be bouncing around, obviously, the worldly sense of investing, but I think there's a spiritual sense here as well. There are many ways that we can give of ourselves now, whether we have a dime to our name or not, that is an eye to the future, an investment in change, an investment in the good. So I'm going to take that worldly sense of investing and the spiritual sense, and as I joked earlier, puree them in the crisp blender for your listening pleasure. The spiritual life also involves risk. It's also worthy of your expectation that it will bring reward. The spiritual life, like investing, means being in it for the long haul, and it fundamentally means being with and in relationship to others. Even in the worldly sense, you buy a stock, and some other people over there do all the work for you. However, the banks, small businesses, your cousin. Investing is fundamentally interconnecting, fundamentally done with others. From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and by this we live. Back in the old days, there really wasn't very much investing. In fact, the religious rules didn't really allow for what we know of it in the modern capitalist sense of things. Interest was forbidden. You could loan people money, but you just expected back what they gave to you. And every 7 years, if somebody hadn't come through in the ancient Israelites, the debt was wiped clean. The There's something wonderful and noble and simple about that, but somewhere along the line, people found when they did start to actually pool their resources, they could get a lot done. A lot done that they could not do otherwise. And in our particular case, we have to give thanks to one of the great strange investment opportunities of the world, which was the Massachusetts Bay Colony, which a bunch of people put a bunch of money in toward the goal of nothing less than building a new world. Through a long process, this beginning to share of our resources, though of course it brings in the end many negative dimensions as well, there can be no denying that it also allowed for the development of a large and complex society with a great big middle class that most of us find ourselves in or would at least like to be in. Shared resources bring power, and yes, it goes awry. Yes, it goes awry, and now there are things that fall under the rubric of investment that don't qualify at all, in my opinion. Various hedge funds and financial trickeries that amount to little more than gambling. If you look at the advice that investors give about money things, you hear a bunch of principles that would apply equally well to your own life, your own spiritual practice, how to take it day to day with the resource we've really got that really matters, far more than whatever our financial resources are, which is our inner resource, our being, our life. What are some of these words of advice? This is from a host of sources. Know thyself, what your current situation is and what your goals are. Develop a long-term plan. Investigate before you invest. Develop the right attitude of discipline, confidence, and patience. Remember that fear and greed will hurt your chances. Get help if you need it. Fear the following of fads. Keep it simple. Diversify, 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 and employ disciplined principles. That all sounds like sound advice. Yes, today I'm encouraging you to make a conscious, values-driven, and very generous pledge as a subtext of this sermon, not so subtly. But I'm asking you to think about a deeper sense of investment in yourself as well. Who better to look to than if we're going to marry this project of investing in the world and investing in ourselves than Warren Buffett, favored of many these days for his bold suggestion that the gap between rich and poor might not need to be as vast as it is. What are his basic investment principles? How can we hear them in a spiritual tone? These come from Buffettssecrets.com. When you hear the word company, think of this company, or think of your own company. Just seven basic principles. The company should be soundly managed. It should have a prudent approach to debt. It should demonstrate earning capacity. That doesn't quite apply. With a likelihood that this will continue. The company should have consistently high returns. The business of the company should be simple. And the investor, that's you, should have an understanding of the company. And assuming that all these thresholds are satisfied, the investment should be made at a reasonable price with a margin of safety. But finally, investors need to take a long-term approach. Let me speak briefly to these. The company should be soundly managed. If you attended our congregational meeting a couple of weeks ago, you know that this is the case. You got to have good people, and we do. The company should have a prudent approach to debt. There's like 17 people that make sure we spend all our money wisely and don't waste any of it and make it do good things for us. And we have a little debt in the form of this building, but compared to what we do, not much at all. We are very prudent when it comes to that, and yet at the same time, and I love this, every now and then, one of those very prudent people gets a crazy idea for a big and wonderful project which are usually about expanding our ability to care for people, to house elders, or extend our services to the homeless, or to bring more people into the life of worship and compassion together. So much so that it has been pointed out to me that the building next door is for sale. And it has a TV studio in it. Now, with earning capacity and high returns, that's not money at all. What we get here is not going to make anybody wealthy. The returns and what we generate, that's something in the soul. And whether it does or not for you is something you just have to ask yourself. For me, the friendly, welcoming voices I meet on a Sunday and throughout the week, the fact that I'm with people who try to do no harm, handle conflicts mostly well, brew coffee for each other, put out books, greet each other in small groups, have fun, try to make the world a better place, and most of all, create this loving web within which I am free to worship God as I know it, them, him, her, us, me, while you do the same. And the return I see is people, myself among them, whose lives are bettered and changed and made healed and whole and a lot looser and friendlier as a result. The business of the company should be simple, and the investor should have an understanding of the company. Again, you have to ask and answer this question for yourself. We try to keep it simple. The mission is four lines: celebrate life, empower people, care for one another, help to build a better world. Spirit of Life has just a few lines, and today we sang again, "The heart of the matter, from you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and from this we live." I think our business is pretty simple in the end. If you agree, assuming that all these thresholds are satisfied, the investment should be made at a reasonable price with a margin of safety. And I guess the margin of safety is you can always take your toys and go home. But I think what we offer comes at a reasonable price. I'm going to be numerical for a moment. I don't know what that means to you. It's something different for everybody. We don't ask you for an amount. There's not an entrance fee. This is not a country club. You don't pay admission to the democracy of heaven, which is how Jesus should have put it, if I may be so bold. Instead, we ask people to give a percentage of their income, to ask you to consider what feels right given your state of blessing and good fortune, whatever it is. But it is nevertheless a fact that if you divide what we need by the number of members, a pledge would come to about $120 a month. That's just a fact. So for Rita and I, who have been blessed by your generosity and new opportunities for her over the last couple of years, we have tried to determine what we will give based first on taking our student loan reality into mind. We literally pay 20% of our income to our student loans. Nevertheless, that leaves us enough resources that last year we pledged $291 a month to cover each of us, as it were, and then to be giving the gift of the congregation to others. But honestly, that only put us in 3.6% territory. That's just for the giving to the congregation itself. We do give to other things, which would take it considerably higher. And by the time you're done at the service auction in the fall, you've ended up giving a lot more to the congregation, too. No problem. But we want to be visionary givers because we love you, and we want to give 6.5% to the congregation, which will be $525 a month, and that's going to mean Chris can't go out to lunch every day anymore. This is just the question I want you to ask yourself. What do you want to put in, and what do you want to take out, and what do you get from the giving? Finally, investors need to take a long-term approach, and this applies, again, to our own inner world, to areas of our lives that have nothing to do with money. You're not going to get instant return on today's exercise. You are not going to get instant return on today's meditation practice. You will, but that's not the entire benefit. We have such a good long-term vision and such a spirit for building this institution for the future here. You look at the list of the things we hope to fund beyond the status quo, and they are all good and nourishing for this community and the wider world. I know I myself would like to start sharing the collection every week. And who knows what kind of center we could do next door. An entrepreneur, Roy Ash said, tends to bite off a little more than he can chew, hoping he'll quickly learn how to chew it. And that is a spirit that has been in this congregation, at least as long as I've been here and before. How else did you make it here? You bite off a little more than you can chew, and you hope to learn how to chew it, and if it's motivated by love and a dream for the future and peace, it is worth pursuing. Amen. Thank you. You're always allowed to say amen. I dream at some point of our growing other congregations, of not being so possessive of the dividends that we are reaping here that we are unwilling to share them with other neighborhoods and other towns. At some point, all religions, even when they had their founder and their founder died, realized like, hey, the thing we're doing in here, it transfers. It doesn't have to do with the place or who's in charge. We can share it with the world. We pool our resources toward the good. And oh, the world needs that kind of long and generous perspective so badly right now. We have lost investment mind. For as much money as travels through the internet on a daily basis, while meanwhile, education, infrastructure, the environment, our basic needs go unmet. For the future, now, invest in yourself first. Your beautiful self. That noble, good-seeking essence in you, my divine friends. Give of that. Be here. Give your time, your talent, your kindness, your smile, your treasure. Share the risks with us. Oh, we'll fail you on occasion. Trouble may arise. Being in relationship may turn out to be difficult. We may have dreams that fall short. There's no avoiding this. There cannot be hope without some fear, nor fear without some hope, said Spinoza. And even when we fail, the Tao Te Ching reminds us that that very failure will be the foundation of our next success. Invest yourself, share the risk, and then reap the dividends. What are they? You can ask each other that question. When your canvasser comes to visit or you go have a cup of coffee with a fellow member, tell each other what the dividends are. For me, it is the encouragement you give to my soul, the gift of knowing so many of you and trying to know the others, the gift of this people taking risks, looking to the future, believing in what is good and holy, and casting aside what is harmful. You guys are the return, my partners, my business partners in this business of trying to build the good and live an honorable life. Can I get an amen there, please? Amen. I'm all in, for from you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. When we sing that, it is a prayer that this congregation, its values, its generous spirit, its views of religious freedom and tolerance, its hope, its all-inclusive and loving view of the divine, that song will be a living prayer that doesn't just reflect what we are now receiving, the gift to us, but the gift to anybody, like the first-time visitor that came in today. A gift to those children that we sang out and the unknown children of tomorrow. That's our prayer, that 100 years from now, the true beneficiaries of our investment will be the elders of this congregation. May it be so. And can I get another amen? Amen. Okay. Thanks. Let's sing it. The hymn is 404, and I invite you to rise in body or spirit and sing with gusto. Closing words. Please.